Join executive producer and former Victoria's Secret model, Summer Helene, and get the royal tour as the Duchess of Hollywood takes you behind the scenes and gives you an insider's guide to Hollywood. Get the scoop and all the dirt and listen in on location with Summer Helene as she guides you through the entertainment world. Summer will challenge everything you think you know about Hollywood. Because of its mature content, Behind the Scenes with Summer Helene is recommended for an adult audience.
Behind the Scenes, I'm your host, Summer Helene, and we have a hell of a show. We have a whole bunch going on today. We have John Reynolds, E.T., Benji, Twilight Zone. He is an amazing director. We have Aggie Cobran. I'm saying it right. I don't know why I have such trouble saying that. I know Aggie. I love Aggie. We, of course, have John Kestner, who you all like better than you like me. Now, here's the catch. We this week have two producers, two creatives. It's going to be a knockdown, drag-out fight, I'm sure. There is a whole bunch going on in this show. I'm sure you all heard about Rose McGowan and her issue this week. She decided she was going to kind of kick it to Hollywood. She didn't mean to. Apparently, she put this post up on Twitter without meaning to and kind of started a controversy. I didn't even hear about this story. It was sent to me by John Kestner. Welcome to the show, John.
Hey, Summer. What's up?
I'm talking about Rose McGowan.
Oh, nice. Yeah, I sent you. I knew you'd want to see that.
What do you think? I mean, do you think she really was taking a knock at them, or do you think it was a legitimate, she took a snapshot of it, put it up for fun, and then all of a sudden it got a life of its own?
What, this comment she made, or this article, what this article's about? I think she just reached a point to where, you know, she had that Howard Beale moment from Network where she just snapped and like, you know what, screw you guys. I'm going to tell them everything. I don't care. We all know it's this way. Deal with it.
But we're not supposed to tell people that's how it is, John.
I know. That's what's going to make this really interesting. Let's see what happens next. Because, I mean, she's a genuine, as far as I'm concerned, she's a genuine victim of the system. So let's see what the system does back. So
I feel everyone's a little bit of a victim of the system. You know, I've had my problems. You've had yours. I mean, we've all, one way or another, Hollywood does what it does, and it's an ever-evolving beast. But it doesn't really change the rules for anyone. So I'm interested in seeing if there's going to be backlash or if they're going to turn around and just let it go, because any backlash will make everyone look bad.
Well, you know, she's probably going to get some momentum because of Bill Cosby, believe it or not, because all those women banding together, you know, to say, hey, look what this guy's done for the last 40 years. And, you know, it's empowering women to step up and say, you know, hey, it is this way. The dirty secrets are there. Everything you thought is true, you know. And
I like there's some accountability in Hollywood. There's never been any real accountability. You know, John, you personally know some of my stories, and I wouldn't repeat them on air. I know some amazing people in Hollywood, but I also know some dirtbags.
Oh, yeah. And they're there.
They
and,
are.
You know. But, you know.
They do not outweigh the good guys. I got to say that.
That's true. But some of the bigger ones have a lot of money and wield a lot of power. And generally what happens is that, you know, probably they have to, you know, probably kick off kind of early, and then the tell-all comes out a few years later.
I think I'm going to call this the Bill Cosby effect. You reach a certain point of fame.
Yeah.
And then that's it.
And, well, I mean, you know, I just heard the sheriff's not going to charge Bruce Caitlyn Jenner for killing somebody on the Pacific Coast Highway. I mean,
it's true. I mean, we all have something that we don't want out there. And in Hollywood, you know, great publicists, so it's easy to bury, you know. We have Cindy Honig on the show each week, and I'm telling you, if I kill someone, I'm calling Cindy. She saved Hugh Grant's ass. I will bow down.
I mean, you know, just say two words, dream team. OJ cut his wife's head off. I mean, you know, it took Nevada to finally put him in jail. So in California, you just get a free pass. That's just how it works. If you're rich enough, I mean, you know, it's just, I mean, you know, maybe I'm getting a little bit of the Rose McGowan effect because I'm just saying that out loud. But everyone knows it's true.
I love Hollywood. Hollywood would never hurt anyone. I'm sorry. I'm programmed.
They've activated the chip in Summer.
but I got to say, I'm a product of the Hollywood system. And, you know, not everyone there is bad.
No.
There are a few. Unfortunately, because of the stake that we have in some of these people, there is a desire to mitigate the damage. And because of that, people think they can get away with a great deal.
Oh, absolutely. Power, you know, their money gives them power, and the amount of money gives them a lot of power. And they just think they can do things and get away with it. And a lot of times they do, and they have. I mean,
but it's not just Hollywood. I mean, do you remember Laura Bush killed someone? She legitimately ran over someone and killed.
No, I mean, you know, I said money, not, you know, movies. So it is. It's everywhere. I mean, you know, look at Skakel, the guy wandering around free after killing a girl with a golf club, the Kennedy family relative.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's just it is money, and I mean, there's a corruption to it when it's involved with scumbags. So.
And unfortunately, with Hollywood, it is very hard to get things out there because
Hollywood
is media. Exactly. Hollywood is media. And I certainly, you know, I'd heard the rumors about Bill Cosby. You'd heard them. We'd all heard them. We all knew it. But no one was saying a damn thing until those girls came forward. Then every single one of us, every person I know went, yeah, we already knew that. And kind of looked around and go, damn, why didn't any of us, why didn't anyone say anything?
You know, it's Bill Cosby.
That's it. In my case, it was rumors and conjecture that I'd heard, but I still, there was no part of me that thought, gee, maybe I should question this.
Well, yeah. Well, you know what I love about life? And there's something else happened this week that's a perfect example of this. The Ashley Madison
got hacked.
The website got hacked.
How'd you like the preacher getting all his lovers out there?
And well, I don't know about that, but the Duggar family, as if that family needed even more bad press.
After the child molestation issue.
The guy's a child molester, and then he turns up on Ashley Madison, and somehow these two big stories converge, and it's life's like that. It's awesome. You think you're gonna get away with something, but you know there's more at work here than just what you do and what your money does.
I think what's interesting with specifically with the TLC families and the television families now, we've gotten to the point that we're looking at the lowest common denominator, the Honey Boo Boos, the religious right like the Duggars, these kind of people. And a little bit, we've kind of gotten what we deserved with them by taking the worst examples of behavior and humanity in a lot of ways. I mean, look at it, Jared from Subway.
That's what I mean. That's what I'm talking about.
We're taking regular people who are not prepared for the spotlight and putting them in the spotlight. Do you realize we have less scandals with people who intentionally got into Hollywood than we do with these overnight reality?
Absolutely.
People?
Another the teen mom got arrested again. I mean, you know, that's when you put a spotlight on these people, they're not going to suddenly turn into Cinderella and start.
Well, they're also not prepared for it. If you work your way through Hollywood, you do know that there are dirtbags out there. You know. To be careful.
Yeah.
You know you have to watch your P's and Q's to a degree. And you still have stuff come out.
Yeah.
You know, it's
just there's just something at work in the universe that you're not gonna get away with everything all the time.
No.
And by the way, guys, get ready for the revenge sex that's gonna follow this Ashley Madison thing, because there's gonna be a lot of angry wives out there.
Oh yeah. Guys, go buy some condoms.
Yep. I mean, come on, it's Megan Fox is getting divorced. Things are turning around for us.
I don't know. Megan Fox is kind of dirty. I just never been so hot on her. Her and Angelina Jolie kind of go in the – they just look skeezy category to me.
Now, everyone's going to remember Megan Fox from that first Transformer movie. And
she
I
was
don't
hot
care.
In the first Transformers.
And that's all they're going to remember. And I guarantee you there's a big, overweight, bald tow truck driver in Bangor, Maine, who's going to have a lift in his step because Megan Fox is getting divorced along with all the rest of us guys.
And that somehow means he's got a chance.
We all think that way. We're
Come
all
on,
happy.
Guys.
We're all happy that she's loose now again and free.
No, it's Hollywood. Like I said, Hollywood's a strange place. I had someone walk up to me. I had someone ask me the other day and was talking to my assistant. I have no idea. I'm not in the press. One of the questions I got asked was, are you dating Vincent Ward?
Wow.
From The Walking Dead?
Yeah.
And I'm like, what's it to you?
Well.
And it's just association. It's simply association.
Yeah.
Any association with fame, people want to know what's going on.
Well, I mean, you guys kind of, you know, you and Sydney did kind of lay it on thick on, you know, when he was on.
No, that wasn't why. I think it was the photos of Vincent and I on a date that did it.
Oh, well, that might do it.
That did it.
But, I didn't know that part.
But it really does come down to it's the association with fame. Usually the only people that are chasing after me are the people that want to get a movie made or the actors, not people outside of Hollywood. But as soon as you're associated with somebody who is in the public eye, there is more of a cachet to you then. And I find that people who are outside of Hollywood, the Duggars, the Honey Boo Boo people, all of this, they're not prepared for what comes with it.
Well, I just think it's funny when something like this blows up and suddenly they say, we want you to respect our privacy. It's like, wait a minute, you didn't have any privacy before. You mean, was that fake or was that real before? And now it's real. You don't want us to pay attention?
It comes down to, look at it like Kim Kardashian. I want you to respect my privacy, but everyone watched a screw Ray J.
Yeah.
There's only so much privacy you can respect like that. Oh, I got to tell you. So we are going to be doing a press pump out here. There is a really cool store. I'm out in Palm Springs right now. Okay. I found the absolute coolest place. I'm in love with it. It's this place called the Desert Exchange. It's in the mall here. It's over at Westfield in Palm Desert. They buy jewelry and gold and coins, and they sell the most awesome pieces you have ever seen in your life very, very inexpensively. I was talking to the guy out there. They're opening a new one now as well in El Paso. Not El Paso, in El Paso.
Yeah, El Paso.
Well, yeah,
Texas.
No, it's here.
Oh.
I think I may have the place. Yeah, I think I may have the place wrong. To the people at the Desert Exchange, I know I just gave you a plug without your permission. I love you. But I've clearly gotten the name of the place wrong. Can I get my viewers, my listeners, I need you to write in and tell me where this new one's opening. Somebody write in and tell me. It's called The Exchange. I loved it. You got to check it out. We'll be right back after the break. I'm your host, Summer Helene. This is Behind the Scenes. Seriously, guys, help me out here.
Connecting you with the best of the conscious minds in the world. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Eros Evolution is where sexuality and spirituality meets. Join me, clinical sexologist Martha Tara Lee, on Eros Evolution on Thursdays, 4 p.m. Eastern on OM Times Radio.
Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. OM Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single OM Times endeavor. Host your show with OM Times Radio Network. OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. OM Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Change the world if you're broke. I know, I tried. Isn't it time you turned your life's calling into a profitable, freedom-based business? I'm Michelle Barr. Join me every Thursday at 2 p.m. Eastern for Sacred Success.
Your conscious lifestyle on steroids. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Hi guys, welcome back to Behind the Scenes. I'm your host, Summer Helene, and I am trying to figure out where this new store is opening. I love this place. It's called the Desert Exchange. They're opening a new location. They're in the Westfield Mall in Palm Springs, or it's Palm Desert technically. Y'all, come on, help me. I've got you guys writing in saying Texas. It's not El Paso. I got that wrong. Help me find the Desert Exchange, guys. They have the coolest stuff. Please help me.
The desert.
John, I hate moments like that, John, where I find the most awesome thing and I want to tell everyone and then I screw something up.
Well, I usually have a problem because I don't, you know, I mean, I don't know. What'd you have for lunch today? I don't know. What kind of, I don't drink or I've never done anything. So usually if I forget something, it's just because I forgot it. But what's up? You can't remember where
I can't remember. I can't remember.
You were there?
I was at the one in the Westfield Mall. It was awesome. They were opening a new one, and I was really interested in the place. They had coins. It's called the Desert Exchange. They had coins. They had jewelry, and you know I'm a jewelry hound. And they had some really amazing prices. I do a lot of red carpets and stuff, so grabbing things like that cheap work great. And usually I get all of my jewelry from Pinelli Bell, which you guys know, I talk about them on air. She does custom stuff. Well, for my everyday stuff and for some red carpets, I love to get pieces that complement Pinelli Bell's work. And they have everything, and it was amazing, and I was really excited, and now I can't remember the location of the new one. See what happens, John? You get on, you're so handsome, you distract me.
Just see, oh, yeah. Well, you know, as they say, I got a face for radio.
Me, you know, I got told I had an ass for radio, so that's perfect.
Oh. Yeah, I, you know, I'm seeing Desert Exchange of Palm Springs online, but I don't know, where's their website at? Am I going the wrong way? I don't know. I can't even find it.
I know. I will find this place, guys. It's the coolest place in the world, and I will give you the info because I feel like I just broke a promise. I like told them half a story.
Well, is the new place is what you're looking for, or the
new place? I know where the old place is. It's on the second story at the Westfield Mall in Palm Desert. They had the coolest stuff. I was looking at some jewelry there. I found some great red carpet stuff. And I, like, my brain just melted. They're opening a new location, and I totally spaced it. I promise you guys, I will get back to you with it. Thank you for your write-ins.
Something to work on.
Exactly. Something to work on memory. I think I spend all of my brain power getting ready for upcoming shoots. Right. I have, I'm really excited.
Where's Alexis? Go beat your assistant.
I know, I'm going to beat my assistant. Actually, my old assistant, Jay Peterson, is now producing, and he has a film coming out from Universal. I am so proud of him.
Oh, wow.
I'm really, really impressed. Alexis is working on a television show right now. I'm really impressed. She's working with John Reynolds and Aggie, who are on the show today. So I'm impressed. I hire really awesome assistants for the most part, except for like the one guy who stalked me. We won't talk about him, but everyone else has been perfect.
Actually, that sounds interesting, but we'll skip it. Save it for later. Right?
I think so. I'm trying.
It sounds interesting.
I'm stuck here in the background. I'm looking at this. I'm like, I'm going to get Aggie on right now, and we're going to add Aggie to this conversation because I'd really like to know what she thinks about the situation, not the jewelry situation. That's my situation.
Yeah.
But I'm curious what she thinks about the situation we have now with these people getting in over their heads. She's a producer. She's one of my favorite people, and she's one of my favorite producers. I actually hooked her up with my mother, who's doing a television show. And Aggie is incredibly talented. She worked on The Secret. The joke at the table when my mom was putting the show together was only people with Emmys can speak. Well, apparently everyone but my mother could speak.
Oh.
Yeah, it was pretty interesting. But I'm very excited about having Aggie on. I'm very excited about having John on. And I know that I'm going to end up being pitted against you and John. And the reason I say this is because I've got you two creative types. I've got my director and my writer. So we have to have at least two producers to balance you guys out.
Oh, we should have a food fight.
We're not having a food fight, John. Ladies and gentlemen, hi. We have John Reynolds, one of my favorite people in the whole wide world. John worked on E.T., Benji, Twilight Zone. We tried to have him on last week. Everything went horribly wrong. I promised you guys I'd have him on this week. I brought you John. John, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure being here.
Thank you. So we are going to have Aggie on as well. And I said, Kessner suggested a food fight because we're going to have a director and a writer and two producers on. So let's see if we can keep everything, you know, pretty balanced between the creative and the business end here. I wanted to talk to you a little bit about getting into the film industry. I know you've told your story before, but we have a heck of a lot more listeners than we did before. So I need you to tell everyone who you are and what you do, John.
My name is John Reynolds, and I'm guilty as charged. I've been working in the motion picture business for, well, I guess now well over 30 years. I've done everything but hair, makeup, wardrobe, and stunts. I wanted to do stunts once, but they talked me out of it.
I respect your producer. We couldn't afford to lose you, John.
So anyway, I kind of do everything. My particular interest at this particular point in my life, I guess. Whew, boy, that's a hard one to answer even. So I won't even go there. I got into the business in Texas. Actually, I went to the Pasadena Playhouse. I studied acting there. And then I ended up in Texas. Don't ask me how. I got behind the camera there. I did some commercials. I was in commercials and things like that there. But I got behind the camera there. And then I met somebody on a movie that I worked on called Benji, which took me to Hollywood. And then I went into L.A. there and back to Hollywood, or back to California, I guess. And, you know, then I just worked there. And, you know, here I am.
And here you are. We also have Aggie Cobran, who I always call Corbin, and I'm surprised she hasn't hit me yet. And you're like, I don't call you Cobain.
Hello.
Hi, welcome to the show. Ironically, I have known Aggie for a very long time. You think I could get the name right?
Yeah.
I don't know how I do that. I've known Aggie for, like, I've really known Aggie for quite a long time.
Someday you'll get it right.
I know. And you think, do you know what would be better? If I got it right on air.
Yes.
Aggie, welcome to the show. Please tell the audience a little bit about yourself.
Sure. I put a lot of events together. I have an event management company, and I've been involved in independent film since a little film called The Secret many years ago. I got involved with a lot of the events around that film, and I've been involved in probably half a dozen, maybe more, films and about five or six TV shows, two of them currently.
God, I love that. I love how you got your resume in there and all those wonderful things you've done. That's awesome.
I think that's a good way to do it.
Well,
so,
it
guys,
is. So that's why she's a major league producer. I'm just a little guy.
Oh, please.
No, not at all.
I'm going to be the first to call bullshit here. So this is what we are looking at, guys. We have studio. We have independent. We have a big mix of people. Last week, we had people write in, wanted to know what aspiring actors, actresses, singers, musicians could do. This week, what we're going to do is I'm going to talk. Aggie and I will take one position. And John, see, we had a lot of Johns last week, too.
It's getting to be a pattern.
I know. Okay. So we're going to have to cut back on the Johns. I'm going to keep you two Johns, though. That sounded very bad. Let me rephrase that.
It really did. It really did.
This is what we don't have Cindy on this week, and it's when I need
what have you heard?
The one week I need a publicist. Okay. So what we're going to do, guys, is talk a little bit. I'd love John Reynolds, if you would pick a film or a topic, I would like all of us live on air to discuss how we would get this together. I want John Kessner to talk about the script. I'd like to talk about the distribution end. I'd like Aggie talking about putting it together, John talking about equipment, casting, all of that sort of thing. I want everyone to collaborate on an imaginary project so that people out there get an idea of how this is really done.
Okay.
And this will either go wonderfully well or we'll have a flaming disaster.
Okay, so just going off of what you said, when you say pick a film, I am assuming that you're talking about something that's already done. So
yes.
Let's pick that and talk about that. Can I suggest this?
Sure.
Can we talk about, John sent me a script some time ago that he wanted me to read for a very specific reason. Yes.
Okay.
As I recall. And so I think that if we talk about, if we're going to do a film that's not been done, what's our process with that, and how does that fit into what's going on today? It's just a suggestion, or I'll pick
a
film.
I love it. Let's
okay.
do it.
Okay, so John sent me a script, and I honestly, John, I'm going to take
a time. Are you comfortable with us talking about this on the air, John? Is it registered?
Yeah, it's registered.
All right, let's have at it.
Just don't give away the ending.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, go ahead. I don't care.
Okay. But here's the thing I want John to appreciate here or understand is that I didn't complete reading it. I just started it. And so
You got further than most people.
I read three
well,
pages.
I, by the way, it's not because it wasn't written well. It was because I went, you know what? Right now on my agenda, I need to put this one aside so I can really focus on it and give it the energy that it really requires.
John, also after this show, I need to get you on to help with directing a film for my old assistant, Jay Peterson, who's doing a film through Universal now at a $23 million budget. So after this show, we're going to talk about that too.
Okay, fine. So, but as I recall, John, that picture was in the horror genre.
Yes.
Yes. And personally, I'm going to say right now, I'm very interested in any material that comes in that venue or that genre specifically. I have another individual like John who has a lot of focus and they do that kind of thing. And I'm very interested in what they have to offer. So, Lucia will take John's script. I think personally that I'm looking at what I want to think about is a $5 million budget right in that particular kind of area. And so then from a director perspective, I have two responsibilities. I have the story, what John writes and what he wants to get across. Now we're going to have conversations about it because I'm going to read it. I'm going to go, well, this is my thoughts about this and this, and we will have an exchange. And in that process, we will come to something that we both agree that we can take to the next level.
This is notes, right? This is
collaborative. It's collaborative. So you and John.
So these are notes that I'll get from you on your input into the script. And I'm just saying this so that everybody listening is following this.
Okay.
Exactly. It's a perfect way to put that into perspective. And so then at that point, John's going to go and do his thing. And the thing is, from a producer's perspective, if I may jump at arenas here for a second, I'm really interested in seeing him make sure that all the I's are dotted, all the T's are crossed, and his emotional arcs and all that stuff, that we have a good character arcs in there. That's critically important. I hear music.
Is it horror music?
No.
Guys, we are going to break. We will be right back with Behind the Scenes as we all sit here and collaborate on what was an imaginary film and is now John Kessner's new film that, by the end of it, I'm probably going to try and steal. We'll be right back here on Behind the Scenes. Stay tuned.
Bringing a more conscious lifestyle to your world. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Welcome to the gathering around my kitchen table on Equilarium FM, Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Join my guests as we integrate spirituality into everyday reality with vibrant conversations, inspired interviews, and my latest channeled guidance to inspire and brighten your day. I'm Claire Johnson, and together we'll be raising vibrations across the nations.
Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community. What if business could be fun? What if business is the adventure of living? What are you choosing? Where do you do business that makes it easier, more fun, or more joyful for you? We'd love to see where you do business. Connect with us on Instagram at Joy of Business or Twitter at Joy of Business and share your pictures with hashtags Business Done Where and Joy of Business. Let's change the world with business.
If you've ever said, I do want it all. I do want happiness. I do want love. And I do desire the happily ever after fairy tale life, then this show is for you. Join me, Dame Nicole Brandon, for my internationally acclaimed show, Bridal Talk Radio, every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Pacific Time, where I'll bring you the top experts in the fields of communication, money, relationships, finance, pleasure, play, travel, sexuality, parenting, real estate, adventure, comfort, care, passion, and love.
Your conscious connection to a more mindful world. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Hi, Hi, guys. Welcome back to Behind the Scenes. I'm your host, Summer Helene, and we are talking about getting a movie made.
Hey, Summer. I want to, if I could just jump in for 1 second here, because what we just talked about John giving me notes, I want everybody who listens, and this is really important for the writers, it's going to happen. I know so many writers, and they scream like crazy if somebody touches their script.
And then they're writers that don't work.
And you know what? You're never going to get anywhere. So, you know, really, mm-hmm. Well, everybody who wants to write, come up with a great idea. But if somebody gives you notes, take them. Because that's someone who's giving you, in a sense, kind of at least one little green light to move forward on something. Instead of saying, yeah, they didn't get what I wrote. You know, no, but I mean, they're trying to turn it into a product that people are going to see. So just go with it.
Well, that's it. And I think people don't realize as well, the greatest thing I've ever heard about Hollywood is it's a giant clock. We are all cogs doing our job and we need to turn quickly together. We jump from job to job and from place to place. So everyone is expected to know their job and know it well. So you can jump on set, do your job and go to the next one. We're very similarly cut cogs. Now, you know, making a movie, I've always heard, is like piloting a plane that's missing a wing and already on fire. It's very, very difficult, but it is very rewarding as long as everyone works well together. I know I hand notes to writers because I'm trying to jam product placement in there, or I have to get this across or that across. When directors do it, it's coming from an artistic standpoint. When producers do it, we're doing it from a monetary or distribution standpoint.
You know, that it brings up something to me that's been on my mind lately. And that is that in this business, it comes up because I was reading something the other day, because people like us, we're constantly reading about what's going on in the industry. And it's not just who the stars are and what's going on with them, but it's what's the deals, what's happening with the major distribution channels, what's going on. You read everything. You have to stay in touch with what's going on in the industry so you have a pulse. You got to be in the flow.
Yes,
and
absolutely.
And what's important to understand is that you don't have to like the people that you work with. In this industry, that is so critically important. I worked on a series of shows once when I was crewing with a UPM that hired the same crew. And we worked three consecutive projects. And he hired a set decorator and a prop guy who fought incessantly. They would have screaming fights on the set. And after three shows, and the third one, I asked the UPM, why do you hire these guys? And he goes, because I know they're going to get the work done. And that was an epiphany for me. He, they got their problems, he said, but I know they're going to do their jobs and they're good at what they do. And that really taught me a major lesson in that you don't have to like the people that you work with, but inherently in this business, when you work in it for a while, you respect
yes
what they do. And in relationship to me giving notes to John, for example, I'm different as a director. In other words, I'm not going to take John's film and make it my movie.
Although it always happens. Yeah,
John, it always happens. And the reason, unless you're in television, that's a different kind of scenario.
That's a producer's medium.
Well, it's a writer's medium. And the
I
writers
think everything's
are the,
a producer's medium, but
well, let's face it. In television today, the major writers are the producers of the shows.
Yes.
That's the reason why they're there, because they have the creative freedom to pursue their process without being interrupted by some idiot who's only concerned with, you know, certain issues that producers have to be. But that's their perspective. So I come from a theater background. I'm very theatrically oriented. I love theater. I love the process of rehearsals more than anything in life. It is the most joyful, fulfilling experience actors and directors and people involved in that press can ever, ever have. Because I come from theater, in theater, the writer is God. In film, the writer is a doormat.
Well, the first guy fired.
Yeah, well, yeah. You know, I live with a very, very good writer every day. I listen to her. I watch her. I hear her have her conversations. I talk to her about her stories and what she's doing and stuff like that. She is a very good writer. And we work together a lot in theater a lot. And a lot of times the stuff that she writes, when we start, she'll go, I want to do this and that. And I leave her alone because she's the writer of the project. And I always, you know, I make jokes about the director, who's really the director of the show here. But it's a joke because in the end, she has to do what she does and I have to do what I do. And she steps back and I do my job. But my job is to take care of her story and Aggie's process. My job, I have a responsibility to the money.
Yes, that's the part I like hearing you say, John.
It's critically important. And unfortunately, a lot of filmmakers don't appreciate the fact that, you know, I did a show, a play recently of a writer who was a very well-known writer. And what we did is we took a piece of his and we broke it down and did some plays. So we divided it up. And Dev wrote a couple of those. And another person wrote several of them. I directed her stuff and et cetera. You know, and the thing about it is that while we appreciate the fact that what the writers bring to the table, we have a reality that we're working in.
And a budget.
Well, the reality is we have sets. We have people who need to fix the sets, the lighting people.
Budgets, investors.
Then you're right. Let's cut right to that. Investors. So we have two languages that take place. We have the investor language, which is the producer's responsibility, and we have the story content with a responsibility to the budget in the director's responsibility and everyone who falls under that division. And in other words, when you're green lighted, you're in production, everybody on the crew has one responsibility.
That is true. Now I'm going to cut you off, John, real quick.
Go ahead.
And say, so what we're looking at, if we're looking at a film breakdown, the director is responsible. I want to get it into easy speak so everyone understands it.
Help yourself.
John Kessner would create the story. John Reynolds would direct the story. John Reynolds' responsibilities would be to send John Kessner notes, change up the script as needed. John is also responsible to Aggie. Aggie is going to need placement in there. She's going to need things from John. John's also responsible as a studio person. He would be responsible to me.
That's right.
I am going to speak up about one issue, and that's money, because it becomes a critical part of every stage along the way. And I know it's the toughest thing to talk
about. Definitely talk about that.
It's the toughest thing to talk about. It's the things that people get most upset with me about. In fact, I had an issue with this just the other day on a project we're working on. Money becomes a critical factor, and you have to look at overall the entire picture, not an individual segment or session or person. It's all of it. Managing the funds for the entire thing. How much money do you have? What can you spend where? Where is the money coming from? Who are you responsible to? Because ultimately, and I hate to say it because I just don't even like admitting it, but that's the major factor in most of the productions we're involved with. How much do you have? Where did it come from? Who are you responsible to? And how are you spending it? And I love writers, and they're creative and they're wonderful, but they're in their own space. And directors are in theirs. And when it comes to the production and the entire picture, you have to look at all of it. My background is primarily live events and some pretty big live events that were very costly. And, you know, you can make or break it on one or two decisions. And it's happened. And in film, even more so in television. So it just becomes this critical thing. And everybody will hate you because you're the one that says you can't do something or it has to be done differently or something has to be shifted. And it may not be the most artistic decision, and that's why people get all upset. It's the most practical. It's the most rational. It's the one you have to make. But sometimes you lose some of the artistry in there, and the director gets pretty upset, and the writers get very upset.
You know, I've worked with John, and John absolutely fought for his crew and fought for the project. But when it got to the bottom line, he was also very, very responsible. I've worked with him to date. I have worked with a lot of directors. For that reason, John was my favorite. He is the only director I have ever worked with that gave a shit about the investors, about the bottom line. He still was hard-nosed about his crew and the artistic side of the project, and I respect him for it, but he is the only director I ever worked with that could look at the reality of the financial situation and go, you know what? I get it. We're going to do this, and go back to the writer and say, we've got to change this. There are very few directors like that, but it is also what makes them a wonderful commodity. They're a very rare commodity. They really are.
They really are. They really are, because it's unusual. Everybody's into the creative. Everybody's into the artistry of it. Is it going to be wonderful? They're not even into, are people going to love it? And that's the interesting thing to me, that I'm expecting a lot more of that than this hardened, this is how it has to be, this is how I want it to be, and you can't change it. And you're going, well, we can't do it that way. So we've got to come to terms with it. We've got to figure it out. And I really hate to say it comes down to money, but so often it does.
It always comes down to money.
Yeah, it always does.
It does.
Yeah.
What? Are you kidding? Oh, I can't believe
it. It's not the art.
Well, it's a balance. Personally, I mean, for me, my personal experience is that, you know, I appreciate the fact that what Aggie has to deal with and what her responsibilities are. So what I need to do is find a medium between her and between what John.
Oh,
we just, I don't know what happened. I think John lost signal. We're going to have to get him back on. I liked what he was saying. We're 1 minute to break. I'll try and get him back on during the break, guys.
The money cut him off.
The money cut him off. No, I got to say, I know Aggie's working with John right now. Aggie, I can tell you, producer to producer, John is the only director I have ever worked with that understood budget.
You know, it's interesting. We had a conversation just in the last 48 hours about that.
I mean, how many stories have there been of directors who instantly get these monstrous egos go crazy?
Are you just asking Aggie and I? Between us, we can tell you 1,000.
Yeah, 1,000. Directors go nuts, and they feel that they have to spend more money just because it feeds their ego.
Well, it's a difference between ego and art. Yeah. Like I said, with John Reynolds, he truly cares about the project. So the art is there. He cares about the finished product, but he's also realistic enough to know what the budget is and work within that so the project looks good. All right, guys, we're going to break. We'll be right back on Behind the Scenes. I'm your host, Summer Helene. We are on with Aggie, for God's sake, say your last name.
Cobrin.
God bless it. John Kevin. I think we just lost John Reynolds. I'm trying to get him back. We'll be back after the break. Stay tuned.
The cutting edge of conscious radio. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Hey ladies, do you want to have that good hair day feeling all the time? Gentlemen, would you want your special someone to have that glow, letting you know she's feeling completely satisfied? This feeling and that glow can be yours by embracing your sexual power. So join me, Rachel Kenley, award-winning romance author, on The O-Spot. The O-Spot will guide you to that peak with guest interviews, book discussions, and conversations on the thrills of sexual empowerment. Put the zing back in your life. Come up and see me sometime on The O-Spot, live on Hump Day at 10 p.m. Eastern.
Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community. As difficult as it is to believe, there are places in Africa where human traffickers sell albino children and their body parts for use in magic rituals. Humanity Healing International is actively working in Uganda to change this paradigm. The Albino Rescue Project finds albino children who are at risk and places them in safe schools and environments where they can learn and grow free from fear. To learn more or to sponsor a child, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
Dr. Kevin here, and I want to invite you every Thursday, 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern, to join me on the Dr. Kevin Show, where we have a diversity of guests who help you step outside the box, behind the curtain, and see what a load of crap is going on in the world today, so you have more information with which to make better decisions. We'll see you there. Namaste.
Conscious media for conscious minds. OM Times.
Hi, Hi, guys. Welcome back to Behind the Scenes. I'm your host, Summer Helene, and apparently John is having technical difficulties. I told him as punishment, if he doesn't get back on this week, I'm going to make him come on next week. I think that's a fair punishment. We are on with Aggie Coburn. Did I get that right, Aggie?
You did.
I am a fucking rock star.
Congratulations.
Yes.
Congratulations.
And I've known you for like 2 years, and I finally got your name right. John Kessner. It's all right. It took me like that long to get used to John's as well. Yeah, good English names, people. it's all I know. I'm pathetic. It's all right. I can't get Alexis's. Hers is Romero. I never get that right. And that's
You've
my assistant.
Her a lot longer.
I think you need to work on names. I think the rest of us are fine.
I'm fine. Your names are good. I suck. I can. The worst part is I read everything, so I say it like I read it, and I can't get it out of my head. I had my son when he first learned to read Harry Potter. He said Hermione for Hermione.
Oh.
To this day, he still thinks that's her name. He's
Maybe
17.
It's genetic.
Yeah. Well, he's adopted.
Oh.
So it must be just that one's a nature versus nurture versus nature thing.
You've infected him.
Yeah, I infected him. Okay. It's like a terrible STD. I probably shouldn't say that. It's worst case. It's like chicken pox. Let's go with chicken pox. All right, guys. I'm
tomorrow's
gonna...
headline. Summer gives Vincent Ward STD.
Oh my God, no!
They don't get it right.
Fantastic. That's all I need.
Yeah. Well. They never get it right.
No, they don't. But Vincent's fantastic. I never want to give him an STD. He's too cute.
No, I'm just referencing what we were talking about earlier. So,
I'd like to practice. I just wouldn't like to actually give him anything. All right, that's too much information. Welcome back, guys. So what we're looking at here, hi, is we're going to talk a little bit about what it really takes to get a movie made and what everyone's job is.
Money.
We cannot get money is the biggest one. I fund a lot of films, find a lot of films, do a lot of films, do a lot of TV, that sort of thing. I work on the studio end. What that means is I decide whether or not you get funding, whether or not you get distribution, who your producer is going to be, who your director is going to be. I make all of those big decisions, and then I usually hand everything over to Aggie, and then Aggie does what?
Figures out how to spend the money now that we know how much we've got and what we're going to do with it. No, I'm focusing too much on money, and I don't mean to do that. I just know that that ends up being the stickiest point of all of it. But as in the production side of it, you're involved in so many different things. You're involved in making a lot of the decisions, a lot of who comes on board, how it's done. You know, literally everything that I would not call creative, because I think once it gets to the creative, it goes into what the two Johns are doing, the writing.
Absolutely.
And the directing. And it's not to say producers aren't creative, but I know the times that I've had to get involved in directing, I've realized how difficult that is. So my hats go off to that.
Hi, John. Welcome back. Now,
Thank you.
Very, very true, Aggie. I will say that our job, yours, mine, they aren't creative. But
no.
I believe that we are the ones, we fund and we help do the paperwork. And, you know, we're the bureaucrats. So that the creatives can dance.
But there are a lot of them that do think they're creative.
Well, no. I
that's always a mistake. I don't want to see a producer do
I got to say I disagree with that.
Oh.
I think producing is a very creative process. And here, let me explain myself here, because I'm going to say this. I'll tell you what's going to piss me off as a director is if somebody pushes me to meet a schedule and a budget and sacrifices the purpose for being there. If we piss ourselves off and don't do the content properly, then the money is a wasted amount of money, and the investor's been screwed. So it's our responsibility, the writers, if you will, the directors, and the producers' responsibility to find a way to make that work.
See, I think
and that's where your creativity comes in, John. I'm not talking about that creativity.
No,
I'm talking about the producers who think they're creative enough to take.
I don't like the writer director producers. No.
Yeah, to put the girlfriends in the movie and they don't fit or something like that. That's mm-hmm. what I mean.
That's,
is
see,
when they
that,
start messing.
That
with
even
the
annoys
story.
Other producers. I know it annoys me. Does it annoy you, Aggie?
It annoys me.
I think it's very creative to see how someone's going to make this happen. That's very creative.
It's creative, but in a different way. It's not the artistic creative. It's the sort of management creative. And
solving puzzles.
we solve puzzles completely. It's a big puzzle, and it's putting the puzzle together, and that's what I love to do. That's why I love live events as well. It's solving a puzzle. It's not worrying about the lighting. It's not worrying about the shading. It's not worrying about the sound equipment. You know, there's certain things that fall into the domain of a producer, and there's other things that fall into other, you know, whether it's directors or sound engineers or whoever. But I think the problem is that sometimes producers overlap, and that's not their skill set. And sometimes they're asked to, and I've been asked to a few times when there wasn't a director on set. And I thought, that's when I know I'm not a director. Yeah. That's when I realize the talent it takes to be a director.
I think the moments, like I can tell you from my perspective, anything I'm EPing, I try to stay offset as much as possible because I sit there and count dollars. I see people sitting and think they could be doing something else. And John has thrown my fat ass offset. And I deserved it. It really does come down to learning. That's a big part of it. It's a big part of Hollywood, and it's a big part of the responsibility people in the film industry have. We are cogs. You should know your job. You should know it well, and you should be able to be picked up from one set to another.
I've been in your position. I've sat on stages and watched a guy walk across to pick up a lamp and go, that cost me $250 damn. That guy
I
needs
vomited.
To pick up the pace. And I will go say something. You know what? That pace is killing me here. You need to pick it up. Or we're going to find somebody else that can move quicker. It's your call.
And
that's exactly the way I'd put it, and I'd walk away, and it would be a done deal. They have a responsibility. That's why they're hired. I don't. That's another thing I really think is important to understand is there's two types of people in this business. There's the people who are serving time, and there's the people who are heat seekers, looking for, you know, that better way and stuff like that. And the people who are at the top of the dog pile are heat seekers. They're all people who are looking to do better. They're all 125 percenters. You pay them $5 an hour or $500 an hour, you're going to get 125% of that human being because what they do is personally important to them.
You know,
and that's it. Isn't it? Wouldn't you say, Aggie?
I would. And, you know, I was going to make an interesting comment here because I've been involved in a number of independent films. And independent films have very, very different budgets and very different expectations. And some of the ones I've been involved with have done remarkably well.
I only did that once and I was traumatized by it.
I actually enjoy it because I think you have a lot of heat seekers in that world. I think you
have a lot.
That I agree with. I love anyone that comes from independent film. Once they get to studio, dude, they know their stuff.
Hey, a lot of heat seekers don't have a guidance system either in the indie world. So
no, they don't. And there's a lot of money that's wasted and lost. And I can't agree with that.
So but I just got a call from, hang on, I'm going to interrupt this. It is not El Paso. It is El Paseo. That is where the Desert Exchange is opening their new store. El Paseo in Palm Springs. Sorry, guys, I'm interrupting. They had all kinds of really cool stuff there, and I promised the audience. I've got people writing in, and I'm trying to get them to figure out where it is. It is El Paseo. I actually had someone from the store call me.
If you're on your way to Texas, stop.
No, it's in Palm Springs. El Paseo is in Palm Springs. Yeah. So if you're going where John sent you to Texas, no.
I didn't send him to Texas. You said El Paso.
It's El Paseo. I don't know. It was. I'm Australian. I'm foreign. But check it out, guys. It's called the Desert. Desert Exchange. It's fantastic. Great jewelry. It's in El Paseo in Palm Springs. I just had to throw that in.
Oh.
Sorry. I promised at the beginning of the show. Back to where we were. By the way, everyone in entertainment has ADD.
Yes. That's another thing you start to notice very quickly. They can jump from one thing to another with absolutely no difficulty.
Yeah, it's not going to stop. Once the show ends, we're all still going to be talking like this.
That's the worst part, yeah. All right, guys, we have 4 minutes left. John, please. Go.
4 minutes left. Oh, my God. Well, right. I'd like to thank my mom.
Oh.
I just want to say that I think the situation is that people on the creative side in the motion picture industry need to appreciate the realities of what producers have to deal with.
Oh,
and they have people who are investors. And I want to tell you right now, when you write a package up, you write a package up for a filmmaking thing, you write up a package for an investor. The language you use with investors is an entirely different situation than the one you write for the movie people. And the reason is because investors are investors. So you have to write to investors. investors, talk to investors about investors' issues, and deal with investors' issues. And when they give you the money, you have a responsibility to hit all the bases in the appropriate way at the appropriate time, because that's the deal. And they are in it. They invest in it. Recently, I did a series of plays, is what I was going to tell you about, and I was at a thing where the lady who was doing this was making a presentation before the money, and I was in this room, and I realized, man, this has been going on for hundreds of years. Artisans go to places, and they do their stuff in front of people with money, the rich, and they support the artist. It's a symbiotic relationship. It needs to be loved and respected, and also feared and honored.
And understood.
It does. It does. It really does. It's a really...
And without that relationship, many, many projects would never be made.
Never.
Never.
I've worked on pictures with Spielberg, for example, and I'm just going to tell you my own personal opinion. He was never a very... a guy who really liked Cruise a lot. He didn't respect them and stuff like that. And I remember a lot of times thinking, Jesus, Stephen, if it wasn't for us, you'd be on a corner doing what? You don't sing, you don't play a guitar, what? You don't act? What would you be doing if it wasn't for a craft service guy who puts out some peanuts for a crew?
You know, I got to say, the only people in Hollywood that would ever have the cojones to talk about Steven Spielberg like that are the people that have worked with him.
Well.
I just got to say that. All right, I'm going to cut two and say, guys, I would love to have you all on next week. We have 1 minute left. I've got a whole bunch of responses on here. Can we get you on next week?
Are you there, John?
I'm dragging them on next week. Guys, John Reynolds, Aggie Cobran.
Yes, yes.
Got it right. John Kestner, and I'm your host, Summer Helene. Thank you for joining us on Behind the Scenes. I'm going to drag these guys on next week. I promise I will answer questions at the beginning of the show next week, right when we get them on. Have a nice night, guys. Thank you for joining us. See you
good night.
Behind the Scenes.